So it's great to see you this morning, you guys. Thanks for coming in and being with us. And I want to begin by thanking Hillary and Corey for leading us into worship. And always, we want to thank people who use their gifts and talents and helping us along in that area. That's a big, big area. Praise and worship is, it's just a big deal. It's a big deal to be able to come into the Lord's presence. Isn't it good to be able to come in God's presence? One of my favorite songs, I only know Psalms, I'm not sure the chapter and the verse, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Man, when you taste and see the Lord that he's good to our soul, man, it's just, oh, thank you, Lord, you're so good to us. So if you have your Bibles, let's begin our journey here today. We're going to look at Mark chapter 8, the second book of the Old or New Testament, Matthew, Mark. And today what we're going to do is we're going to look at the first nine verses, Mark 8, 1 through 9. Hey, if you don't have a Bible, fear not. Simply direct your attention to the screens on my right and my left, and you can follow along as you read, or as I read, just follow along. That would be great. So we're going to look at Mark 8, verses 1 through 9. And before we read the text, I always think it's important that we set the table, set the stage for what we're ready to jump into, so you have a little content, you have a little foundation. And really, all you need to know is in Mark chapter 7, just one chapter previous in verse 31, we read that Jesus is doing some ministry in a region called Decapolis, okay? And while he's ministering in that region, there's this guy who was born deaf. He couldn't hear, okay? And Jesus comes and he heals this deaf man. And the word begins to spread. I mean, wouldn't you be excited if you heard about that? And the word begins to spread. Everybody's super excited. So the crowds are growing because they want to see this miracle-working Jesus. And not only do they want to see him, they want to hear his teaching. So that's the context. The crowd is growing bigger and bigger by the day because, as we'll read today, we'll see we're in day three of this little mini revival out in the wilderness, okay? So let's just begin to read this morning, picking it up in verse 1. So let me make sure I'm doing my part here. And everybody ready? Let's go. Okay, verse 1. It says, "About this time, a large crowd had gathered, and the people ran out of food again." You say, what do you mean again? Well, just go back two chapters previous to Mark 6, and you see that it was there that Jesus fed 5,000 people, okay? And it says that Jesus called his disciples and told them, and I love this. This is where we see the heart of Jesus. He says, "I feel sorry for these people." And he tells us why. "Because they have been here with me for 3 days and they have nothing to eat." I love the heart of Jesus for people in need. Verse 3, he goes on to say, "If I send them home hungry, they will faint along the way, for some of them have come a long distance." Verse 4, his disciples chime in and they reply, "How are we supposed to find enough food to feed them out here in the wilderness?" So they're saying, "Hey, Jesus, we're not in town. We can't run over to Aldi's here, okay? We can't run over to Cane's and get enough chicken fingers for everyone here." So they're out in the wilderness. We're secluded. There's nowhere else to go, only with what we have today, okay? Then verse 5, Jesus asks, and I love this question. You can't miss the power of this question. Jesus asked the disciples, "How much bread do you have?" How much bread do you have? And I love that because Jesus isn't focusing on what they don't have. He's focused on what they do have. And their reply is, "We have 7 loaves, they replied. Verse 6, so Jesus told all the people, "Hey guys, sit down on the ground." Then he took the 7 loaves and he thanked God for them. By the way, it's always good to give thanks for our food. And he broke them into pieces and he gave them to his disciples, and I don't want you to miss this. This is a big piece of what I'm going to be talking about today, who distributed the bread to the crowd. So he blessed it, then he distributed the bread to the crowd, and then look at verse 7 with me. It says in verse 7, "A few small fish were found too, so Jesus also blessed these, and he's told his disciples, hey, do that same thing, distribute the fish, distribute them." And then look at verse 8 with me. We see the result of the blessing and the obedience of the disciple. The result is the people ate as much as they wanted. How many people are excited about that? It wasn't just, here's a little appetizer. It is, hey, gang, eat as much as you want. There's plenty. And I'm like, yay, Jesus, okay? Is anybody with me? Yay, Jesus. Probably like a buffet in the wilderness, okay? Buffet made up of two items, fish and bread, okay? Then check out the word. I highlighted this in my Bible, afterward. Afterwards, the disciples picked up seven large baskets of leftover food. How many people are fans of leftover food? Come on, how many people are fans of leftovers? Here's what I'm discovering in my house. Nolan has figured out leftovers. So here's what happens. We often go, not often, it's not very often at all, we go to Buffalo Wild Wings, and Nolan orders like, let's just say 16, 20 wings, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? And he said, Dad, I love it because I take what I can eat, and I'll eat it tomorrow. I'm like, dude, you start doing that when you're paying for your own, okay? I'm not here to buy two meals for you today. I'm only buying one, but mom always chimes in. How many people know that's just the way mothers are? They come to the rescue. And that's what Heather does so well, comes to the rescue. And I'm like, don't do it. Don't budge. But anyway, we need to get on with this message, okay? Verse 9. Woo, God is good. There were about 4,000 men in the crowd. So if you do the math, 4,000, most of those men were probably married, had wives. Those families probably had children. So many of the scholars believe there could have been upwards of 10,000 people that day. Okay? 4,000 men in the crowd that day. And then check out what Jesus did. He sent them home after they had eaten. I love that line. He sent them home after they had eaten, meaning he sent them home after he met their need. Can we pray this morning? Let's all bow our heads and ask God to do something that's much bigger than me. By his Spirit, that he'll do it through me and in you. And this will be a day that will have a lasting impact on our lives. So, Father, we thank you for this amazing day. We thank you for your amazing love that we sang about this morning, that you so love the world. And, Lord, we just commit this time to you this morning. And, Lord, we ask, God, that you would bless your word in the communication of it, in the receiving of it. We just pray for the dynamic of your Spirit to be at work. And God, we give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, what I want to do here is I want to begin this morning's discussion, talk, whatever you want to call it, with a question. And my question is this. How many people have ever heard of a psychologist? He was an American psychologist. He was like, I think, born in 1907, lived to 1970. And his name was Abraham Maslow. Has anybody ever heard that name before, Abraham Maslow? Well, what Abraham Maslow did is he really dedicated a lot of his studies in like the 40s, in the 50s. And what he did is he began to study, and he wanted to discover what were the basic needs of each and every person. What are the needs that everybody across the globe has? And what he came up with is he came up with these five different levels of needs that people needed to be satisfied and fulfilled, okay? And so what it's called in your history book, it's called the Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs, Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. And we're not going to camp here real long, but I think it's really worthy to look at what are these five levels. So let's take a quick look. Level one is what he would call your physical survival needs. Everybody has these physical survival needs. This is the new need for the basics, such as food, drink, shelter, sleep, oxygen. By the way, I'm a big fan of oxygen, amen? And by the way, if these needs are being not being met in their life, it dominates their interest, it dominates their concerns. And if you've gone without one of those basic needs, you know certainly what I'm talking about. So that's the physical survival needs. Then you go into level two, and Maslow calls those the physical safety needs, which I find very interesting, the physical safety needs. And this is the need that every single person has, that they want to feel safe in the world. They want to know that there's safety, that they're safe from personal danger, they're safe from personal threats. And when these needs are deprived, when they're not being met, where they're being threatened, the result, listen to this, it's very interesting to our times. When these needs aren't being met, what happens is people experience what is called fear. Fear. And I was thinking about that this week. Doesn't that really describe what we're going through right now as a world, where people's basic physical safety needs aren't being met, so there's this fear, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So this describes really well where we live today. Number three, level three is, and I can relate to this one because I'm a very touchy-feely person, and that is level three is this: we all have a need for love and belonging, love and belonging needs. And these are the needs that the fact that human beings were sociable, we're to be together, we're to be face-to-face, okay? And doesn't that fit today also? And we need relationships. We're people that are in need of relationships. Even the most introverted person needs at least one, two, three other relationships in their life. We need those relationships. We need family. We need to have belonging. We have this acceptance. We need understanding. We all need love and affection. We need to give that. We also need to get love and affection. And by the way, when this doesn't happen, people have feelings of loneliness. People have feelings of pain. They're sad. There's separation. There's unworthiness. It's a real, real need. And a few months ago, when this whole pandemic got started, I think it was like month two, they had a mother on one of the news channels talking about how her son had taken his own life as a result. He thought he couldn't live with the separation that they were asking him to live with. So he took his life. It was a tragic, tragic, sad story because that need wasn't being met in his life. It was real. And I want us to get one thing today. I want us to get this, that needs are real. Needs are real in your life today. Needs are real in all of our lives. Wherever you go, wherever there's people, there's needs. Let's go on to level four. Level four, Maslow says, are self-esteem needs. I think this is very right on. I think he nailed it on this one. This is the need that every single person, every one of us, I know for me for sure, this is definitely the case. We want to feel valued. So ask yourself today, is that you? Do you want to feel valued? I do. I love value. I want people to think I'm valuable. You want to make sure that your life is counting for something, that I'm not just living this life to reach the end and nothing happened. I want my life to truly count. I made a difference. That's what Maslow is talking about. And it's a degree of self-respect and getting respect from other people. And in this need, and I want you to listen very closely to the words I chose to use here. In this need, it includes things like recognition. People love to be recognized. I want you to hear that today. People love to be recognized. That's a need. People need attention. I want you to hear that. And the third thing is people need appreciation. And folks, come on. Those are easy things to give, aren't they? That we can say to somebody, we recognize you. We give people attention. We give folks, those things should just flow out of the heart of the believer, appreciation for other people. I'm just jacked about that one, okay? And let's go to number five before I start standing up and preaching now. Let's go. Level five is what we call self-fulfilled needs. Self-fulfilled needs. And this is the level that describes the desire to accomplish everything one can be. It really fits in well. I think it's the motto of the Army, being all that you can be. Being all that you can be. That's a need that people have. There's people out there, a lot of people say, I want to be everything I can be. I don't want to be cheated. I don't want to just skim off the top. I want to be all that I can be. So why I communicated those needs this morning is because I want every one of us, I want to nail this nail deeper into the board this morning, is that every one of us have needs. And not only does every one of us have needs, everyone else that you live with, everyone else that you come in contact with has needs, okay? So why do I bring this up? Because if we go back to the story today that we read in Mark chapter 8, we see that there's this large group of people, maybe upwards to 10,000 people. And I want to let you know that everybody in that crowd on that day had a need. And their need was what Maslow would label as a level one physical survival need. And that is that they had the need for food. They had the need for food. We see this, if you go back and read the text, you'll see it twice. You'll see it in verse 1, and you'll see it again in verse 3. So my question is to you, what did Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, what did Jesus do when he saw the needs of other people? What did he do? Did he ignore them and say, hey guys, we've been out here for 3 days. Me and the disciples, we're going to go pack up and we're going back to the Hilton tonight. And just ignore their needs? Is that what Jesus did? No, he did not ignore the needs that he recognized. But what he did is he did three things, and that's what I want us to look at, the three things that Jesus did when he recognized that there were people in need. So let's take a journey and look at these things together. Three things. Number one, the first thing he did is he had compassion for those in need. He had compassion for those in need. I like out of that verse. We read it originally out of the New Living, but look at how it reads in the NIV. It reads like this. It says, I have compassion for these people. I have compassion. And see, and I want to say this because I really believe that God laid this on my heart because, to be honest with you guys, I know it's a little weird, but this is not the first time I preached this message. I have preached this message now about 3 or 4 times to an empty room. How many people think that's weird? But that's just how I do it. And as I preach a lot of times, God begins to lay things on my heart. And one of the things that God laid on my heart when I was preaching this message just to me and him was this, that there's not only did Jesus have compassion for those people that day, I want to let you know that Jesus has compassion for people today, every day. And what I want to say, and this is what I really believe that God laid on my heart, there's people in this room, there's people online this week that you need to hear that God realizes, Jesus realized you're going through some very difficult times. And I want to let you know today that Jesus has compassion for you. So let me share a couple thoughts about what compassion is. So we're all reading out of the same book here. Compassion. By the way, let me not get ahead of myself. I hope you didn't see that. Anyway, compassionate means that you feel deeply. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. You feel deeply for another person as they're experiencing the ups and downs that are associated with life. So it's a real, like Jesus, he felt this deepness in his spirit, in his emotions. Someone actually, I read this week, I love what they said. They said, compassionate people, it means to suffer together. I thought that was worth the price of gold. Compassion is that you suffer together. So let's look at this for a minute real quick, meaning that if somebody in this room is suffering, what the rest of us need to be doing is compassion is when we come together with them and we suffer with them. And I was thinking about that one of those times when I was preaching this message this week, and that is if there's somebody like Heather that's suffering, and she's going through a whole bunch, and I come and I help her and I suffer together with her. How many people know that alleviates a part of her suffering? And I take on some of that suffering. So what would it look like, you guys? Just dream about this. What would it look like in the body of Jesus Christ, in the church of Journey Church? What would it look like if we knew that there was somebody that was suffering? And there is, because that's the way life is. What would it look like if the rest of us came and we began to suffer together? Wouldn't that be a beautiful expression of the body of Jesus Christ? And that's what I believe that Jesus wants. We're not only here for Sunday morning services. This is such a, I think this is a small piece. My sermons are such a minute piece of what should be going on in this church. And what should be going on in this church is Jesus was compassionate. We should be compassionate. When they're suffering, we all suffer. And I just want us to get that in our heart, that we suffer together in these things. And by the way, the second thought on compassion before we move on is it's not just telling somebody. It's not just verbiage. And there's times that it is words. But there's a lot of times where we got to step beyond words. And there's times that we got to put feet on those words. And we got to show people that we care. Sometimes it's not just words. It's action. Yes, there's words that bring great compassion, but there's also action that we need to say, hey, not only are we going to talk the talk, we're going to walk the walk. And that's what I want us to be as a church. So that's the first thing Jesus did is he had compassion. Number two, the second thing that Jesus did is this. Jesus used And this is so big. This is something I miss reading this story for years. Jesus used what the disciples had available. He used what they had available. And I want to let you know, all they had was 7 little loaves and a few small fish. That's all they had. And in the light, in the magnitude of this need, I want to let you know that wasn't much. I mean, I don't think we could feed this crowd in this room. I know with my appetite, it ain't going to happen. 7 loaves and a few small fish. So I want you to see that Jesus used what the disciples had available. But how many people know that Jesus doesn't need much? I want to say that again. Jesus doesn't need much. He can work with what every single one of us has within ourselves available to us. Jesus doesn't need much. He can use what we have. And that leads to number 3, and this is so cool. It says Jesus had the disciples distribute what they had. I want you to look at that. I underlined that word on purpose. Jesus had the disciples distribute what they had, meaning he had them distribute the fish and the loaves, okay? And I love this because what I want you to see here, please don't miss this morning, and that is that Jesus, in the working of this miracle, he chooses to use who? He chooses to use his disciples. That is really good, you guys. And I tell you what today, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, he chooses to use you. He chooses to use us. Jesus doesn't perform this miracle on his own. He chooses to use his disciple. Because I heard this line years ago, and I've repeated it probably 100 times in this church, and that is that God works through people, not independent of people. God works through the hands, the feet, the voices, the resources of people. God doesn't work this independently. He works through people. And here's what I used to think about this story. So I'm going to illustrate this a little this morning. I used to think that the miracle was all about Jesus' blessing. I thought the miracle was Jesus taking the bread in his hands and looking up towards heaven and saying, Father, bless this food. And I want to let you know, not for one minute am I downplaying that. That was a piece of the miracle. But I want to let you know there was another piece of the miracle, and that is that when Jesus began to break up the bread into pieces, so what I'm thinking is all the disciples have like a serving tray or something, basket, and he's breaking up the pieces, and he's putting the bread in the trays, and he's just breaking it up. Chad, can you come on up real quick? Chad, would you take one of those trays and just stick by me? I'm not sure where we're going with this, Chad. Heather, would you come up and be a guinea pig too? And Nick, why don't you come on up? And yes, and okay. And Leah, this is what we're going to do. So Jesus breaks up the bread, and what happens? Just please do not receive what they're serving. It hasn't been. It's not safe. Okay, but this is what I want you to see. The miracle began to take place not only after the blessing. The miracle just kind of walk out. Don't serve anybody. But the miracle began to take place when the disciples begin to do what? They begin to distribute what Jesus gave them. Does everybody catch that? You guys can come back. Let's give them a hand. I don't know if that was as powerful if I thought it. So the miracle was in this. The miracle was in the fact that they took what they had and they began to distribute what they had. Okay? They begin to distribute to the people what Jesus gave them. And it was as they begin to distribute. I always wonder what the disciples thought when they looked down and they were like, we keep serving, but there's still more food. What's going on here? And we're going somewhere with this, so let's transition right now, because it's after Jesus did these 3 things that the miracle took place. And it's after Jesus did these things that those people who were in need had everything that they wanted and they needed. So let's move on into some application today, because we're going to just bring this home to where we live. And what I want to do as we bring this home to where we live is I want to ask you three questions. Is everybody ready for three questions? Yeah, we're ready. So here we go. Application, three questions. And my first question is this. Do you have compassion on those in your life who are in need? Do you have compassion for those people in your life who are in need? And by the way, that person could be a spouse. That person could be a child, somebody in your own family. It could be your parent. It could be a close friend. It could be a stranger. It could be a neighbor. It could be a coworker. I want to let you know there's a lot of people in your life, and those people have needs. And my question is, do you have compassion to those in your life when they have a need? And by the way, that need could be a physical survival need. That need could be a safety need. That need could be that that person needs acceptance. It may be that just that small, but that powerful, that that's what they need right now in their life. They need somebody who's going to understand. That person in your life right now may need some recognition. They really feel like nobody cares and nobody loves them. And maybe your God is saying, hey, have compassion. Give them recognition. Maybe it's the need for attention. That right now, nobody's giving that person attention, and they need you to, they just need somebody to speak life. Maybe it's just a need for appreciation. Just think to the people in your life, the needs that they may have. And my question is, when you recognize that need, do you have compassion? Do you suffer with that person? Do I suffer when I see that Heather has a need? Do I suffer when I see Nolan has a need? Do I suffer when my oldest son, who is now living in a city where he knows exactly no one, has anybody ever showed up in a city where you knew no one? And that's where he's at. So all week I have this compassion now for Grant. I hurt with him. So it's like, Dad, why do you keep on calling me? Well, I'm calling you because I have compassion. I don't say that, but I call you because I love you. And I want you to know that your mother and your brother and I think you're the greatest. And there's needs all around us, but we just have to have our antennas up. And we got to look beyond our own selfish. So many times we're so self-absorbed with our own needs that we miss the needs. And it could be right in your own family. I've been accused as a pastor of looking beyond some of the needs in my own family to some of the needs outside of my family. That's not good. You hear what I'm saying? So we need to be very compassionate. And what happens in life is our compassion tank begins to go empty. We get hardened by life. We get calloused. We get cynical. And the thought that God kept laying on my heart this week is, hey, sometimes you just got to stop and pull over and get your tank refilled. Amen? And I just think in my life, I want my compassion tank to be refilled. And that's what my heart is for all of us, that this will be a church where our compassion tank, our suffering tank for other people will be filled and overflowing so that we see somebody in need that we're suffering with them. Here's the second question I want to ask you in application is this. When you see the need in other people, do you focus on what you have, or do you focus more on what you don't have? That is a very important question that you may not have gotten the first time, so let me read it one more time. When you see a person in need, do you focus on what you have, or do you focus more on what you don't have? And I want to explain for a minute why this is important. Because if you're anything like me, and I've fallen into this trap too many times, if you begin to focus on what you don't have, well, Lord, there's a person over there in need, but I am certainly not the candidate to be able to help that need because I don't have A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. I don't have what it's going to take to fill that need. If we focus on what we don't have, what ends up happening most of the time, we end up doing what? Nothing. Why? Because we're so focused on our part of the equation, on all the things that we may not have, we don't feel adequate with. And I know there's some needs that I don't have maybe there's some medical needs that people need that are beyond me. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's times where I just cut myself out. I can't do anything because I'm focused on what I don't have. But if we will focus on what we have, how many people know God will take what we have and use it? God will take what you, I mean, it could be as little as 7 loaves of bread and a few fish. Come on, think about that. To feed 10,000 people, are you kidding me? Well, there's people in your life that have some big needs, and you think, I don't have much, but I guarantee you, you have seven loaves of fish or seven loaves of bread and a few fish. You have something. Take and use what God gives you. We all have something. It could be something like time. It could be words. It could be your talent. It could be your resources. And I want to encourage us today, when we see people in need, let's not freak out because, oh, Lord, that's so big. There's nothing I could do to help meet that need. No, let's focus on what we do have and begin to take the tray and begin to distribute what we do have to that person in need. Begin to distribute that. And number three is this, and that is the question, are you willing to distribute what you have? And really, that comes out of that compassion piece. And that's really where that starts. Are you willing to distribute what you have? See, the miracle takes place when we begin to say, hey, God, I'll take what you have given me, my time, my talent. I have some resources. I have some words. God, whatever it is, Lord, here I, it's yours. I begin to distribute what I have. Are you willing to distribute what you have? And here's the cool thing as we wrap this thing up and put a bow on it is this. When you do those three things, you're going to see two results. Number one, those in need are going to be blessed. Man, if you've ever been able just to be a part of helping somebody in need and you see that blessing, how many people know that's pretty awesome? That Jesus, you took this little guy like me and you let me be a part of what you were doing. What will happen is you'll see that they'll be blessed. But number two, you'll also see that those who do the distributing, you, will be blessed also. That's why I love that it says that there was leftovers and then they picked up the leftovers. And I just can picture the disciples saying, yay, when this is all over, man, we're going to another secluded place and we're going to open these bags up and we're going to party. Can we say that in church? We're going to have a good time. And I think it's then that after all the crowds were gone, the disciples now take what's left over and now it's their turn to receive the blessing. So when you say, God, you can count on me to meet a need, that person will be blessed, and also you'll be blessed too. The Bible says those who refresh others, will they themselves be refreshed? Meaning when you step out and you give, it's not when you hoard. Folks, we got to break the mindsets of the world in the kingdom of God. The mindsets of the world is hold, 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 hoard, 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 keep them in your pockets, keep it to yourself. But Jesus is saying, that's not the way of my kingdom. My kingdom is when you refresh others, when you give, it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over in your lap. Come on, there'll be plenty for you. But the first step is, Lord, what do I have available? God, will I distribute that to other people? So here's your homework. And I love how I heard a pastor say it last night. Nolan was listening to a sermon, and the pastor said it wasn't homework. It's called life work. And here's your life work this week is to keep your eyes open to those around you and begin to think about the needs and look for the needs in other people. So I want to pray right now as Hillary and Corey are going to lead us into another song. And in this song, I just want you to find a posture. You can remain seated. But this is a song of just, Lord, I just commit this message to you because I don't want to be a hearer of the word, but I want to be a doer of the word. So, Lord, today begin to do a work in my heart. And as they sing today, maybe the work that needs to be done in your heart that I know needs to be done in my heart is, Lord, fill my compassion tank. Lord, may I suffer when I see the suffering of others. So Corey and Hillary, would you do us the pleasure of not just, but leading us in this closing song. And I want you to listen very carefully to the words of this song. God bless you. You can sing together. But let's at least make this a time of prayer together. And that'll come up at the end.
Oh,
Continue to play. I love this story. Jesus has compassion on the needs of the thousands of people. And how many people know that Jesus' ultimate act of compassion was when he looked upon the earth and he saw the greatest need of people, and that was their sin. And because of their sin, that the relationship with God had been severed, cut off. And Jesus, in compassion, left heaven and he came to earth on a mission. And the mission was simple, surely not easy, but he came on the mission of the cross, because it was on the cross that Jesus gave his life as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says that his blood was poured out, and that blood was the atonement, the payment necessary for our sins. Now it's up to us, and that is, what will we do with that act of compassion? Will we accept it or will we reject it? And if you've never accepted what Christ did for you on the cross through his blood being poured out for the forgiveness of your sins, I want to certainly give you that opportunity today in this room, online, throughout this week, that, you know what, this is the day of salvation. This is the day to say yes to Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you left heaven, where you were from the very beginning of time, and you came to earth to die for our sins, to meet that need of our broken relationship with God. And Jesus, we thank you that through the work of Christ, now we can have peace with God. If you're here today and you say, you know, I've never responded to Jesus, and I'm not sure what my relationship with God is, and maybe today is that day you just want to say, you know what, that'd be cool if I could just make sure I take care of this greatest need of mine, the forgiveness of sin. Everyone in this room today, you'd say, yeah, today I want to just, will you pray for me today? Anyone in the room just want me to pray for you? Anybody online this week, I just want you to know you can reach out to us. Our address is on the website. You can ask for us to get in contact with you, pray with you. We would love to do that. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for the beauty of the lyrics of this last song, Lord, that we'll go to where there's people in need. And for some of us, it might be one step across a room to a spouse, to a child, to a parent. It might be a couple steps across the street to a neighbor that's hurting. But Lord, I just pray, God, that we would not just sing these songs, but Lord, that they would be impressed upon our hearts to be people that would carry these words out. And Lord, we just thank you for this moment in time. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. In Jesus' name. If we could all stand to our feet, we're going to close by praying a prayer that just Jesus taught his disciples to pray. That is the Lord's Prayer. So let's all pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Folks, God bless you. Have an awesome week.